Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. It's a beautiful day outside, and we're getting ready to hear what God has to say to us this morning. And, you know, last week I was sitting up here with Brianna interviewing her, and I was, as you were, struck by the significance of what happened to her, that God healed her, that God had grown her spiritually, and that, you know, that he was in the process of showing her further plans and what God had for him, her, and her life. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, God is just absolutely fantastic in what he does for us. But sometimes we get into ruts. You know, we get up in the morning, we have our breakfast, we have our coffee, maybe the other way around, not sure. But, you know, you get up and you get going and you go to work and you come home and you're just beat because you're done with work. And then you work a little bit more at home. You watch a little TV and you can go to bed. And you do it all again the next day. And it just kind of rolls, doesn't it? And when we hear stories like Brianna's, we sometimes have a tendency to say, well, that's her and it could never be me. I want to remind you this morning, actually, I don't want to remind you. God laid this on my heart to remind you this morning that God is able. God is able to do far beyond anything that you can ask or think. Now, for some of us, that's pretty big, okay? Some of us, it's really little. But I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to this passage up here, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now, this passage I've listed here is actually the end of a prayer that Paul gives. And so we're going to be looking at the prayer from verse 14 through 21. But I want you to focus on 20 and 21. That's where we're going to begin. So as you're turning there, I want to tell you another story about something that's happened. And this happened to Rosemary and I and Martina Smith, who is the YFC director. And last week I told you that we took seven middle school students to Montana to a church camp where Holly and Nate work, Clydehurst Christian Ranch in up by Billings, Montana. And we took them up there not just because it's a church camp, but because we wanted to see something significant done in their lives. So seven middle school students. Now, if you haven't been with middle school students recently, okay, you need to understand that middle school students are kind of like a herd. They kind of go this way, and they're all together. It's just kind of like, you've seen those fish that swim, and these they just go everywhere? That's kind of the way middle school students are. They are followers. And it's really difficult for them to make decisions, because they're not sure who they are. They're struggling with self-identity and sexual identity, and just who has God made me, and why has he made me, and why did he give me those parents? Because I hate those parents. And why did he give me these friends? Because I want some different friends over here today, and tomorrow I want these friends back again over here. They just flip-flop all the time. They're all over the place. But they are the most thinking generation. They love to think about things that are valuable and important in their life. And so we took them up there because we wanted to get them away from life, from the rut that they were in. And so as we're going up there, we're thinking about what do we want for these kids? We want, number one, we want to see them to come to grips with who they are, okay? To understand who God has made them. We wanted them to come to grips with their sin. What sin are they struggling with that they needed to repent of to move forward with God? We wanted to see them grow spiritually, to have a change in their life. We wanted to see them become better friends with each other so that as they enter high school this year, they know that there's somebody there to support them. And we wanted to see Christ as the center of their life, for them to start to understand how important Christ is in their life for their capacity to continue to live as a Christian. That's what we wanted to go. Now, would you say that those are big ideas? Yeah, they're huge in the mind of a middle schooler, okay? They are huge requests. And so what did we do? So we took them, okay? We endured 32 hours in a van with seven middle school students, and we cleaned out the van several times of all the stuff they'd eaten because they like to eat junk food. We took them up there, and then we encouraged them throughout the week. We sat with them. We talked with them. But the most important thing we did for them all week long was we prayed for them. Every time there was a service, after the service was out, they would go to their cabins to have a discussion, and Rosemary and I and Martina would sit down in the back of the chapel, thank you, and we would pray. Now, we wouldn't pray just real simple prayer. We would pray deep prayers, the exact same things that we were talking about right here. We would pray that God would start to do those things in those students' lives. So Monday, Tuesday, and nothing's really going on, and then Wednesday comes around, and all of a sudden stuff starts to pop, and they start to make decisions. And by the time the end of the week, we're sitting in the place we stayed on Friday night with these students, because it was too far to drive in one day, so we were staying someplace in Billings. And we invited Holly and Nate to come over. Now, Holly's a program director at camp, and so she's interested to know how these students are thinking, what they're thinking. So we brought her over there, and she kind of debriefed them a little bit. And when Holly went out the door that night, okay, and we talked with her out by the car, she said, I haven't seen this kind of thought in middle school students in a long time. So some of these students were dealing with sin, and I think every one of them dealt with some kind of sin in their life, and they repented of the sin. Now, this is not just I'm lying, I'm cheating type of sin, okay? This is pretty serious stuff that they're dealing with. I don't want to divulge what they're dealing with, but this is not just the normal things that we may be thinking about, okay? Think about some of the worst stuff you can think about, and that's what we're dealing with, okay? They were becoming friends, okay? More than just YFC friends. They were actually saying, you know what, I kind of like these people. Maybe they can support me. They were dealing with family relationships, the relationships they had with their father or their mother. They were dealing with those things because they were struggling with those things. And they were starting to see God at the center of their life. They were starting to see that this was important for them. Now, why do I share with you all of this? Because I want you to understand that God is able, okay? We prayed some things that God wanted to do in their life, and God began that work. He began that work in their lives. And so take a look at this particular passage, and you see it in your scriptures. This is out of the New Living Translation. It says, now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, God is at work within you. Now, I want you to take this. I don't want you just to say, well, this is just what Dave said. No, this is what God says. This is what his word says. Paul is praying a prayer here. And this is kind of the ending of the prayer. But you know, when you pray a prayer for something, a lot of times you'll come back to the end of the thing and you'll talk about the things that matter the most that you've already prayed for. This is the end of it. Now, glory be to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Here he's saying, notice who's doing the work. God is at work inside of you. So who is God? Who is the God he's talking about here? So now I have to have you and refer you back up to verse 14 and 15. So this is what it says. This is a conversation about who God is. I fall on my knees, Paul says. I get down on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. This is, number one, your Father, your heavenly Father. And if you think about your personal Father, now maybe you don't have such a great relationship with your father, but think of maybe then your grandfather who was a good person for you, okay? But someone in that fatherly role, and think, do they have your best interest at heart or do they want to hurt you? Now, most fathers, if they're good fathers, they don't want to hurt their kids. They want to help their kids. They want their kids to do better than they've done in their lives. So think of your heavenly Father, understand that he's perfect. So he can't do anything bad. So what does he want for you? He wants you to have the best in your life. Understand also that he's also your creator. Now, most of us do certain things with our hands. We like to create different things. We do quilting, and we can do woodworking. We can do metalworking. We can play in the garden. In fact, I heard someone yesterday say, I just love to go out and pull weeds in my garden. And I thought to myself, wow, bless you. That's not what I like to do. But that's his creative outlet, okay? He loves to go out and do that, okay? So as a creator, the problem is we don't create from nothing. God created from nothing. Okay? He made us, and he created us. And we know from Ephesians, the first chapter, that he knew before the foundations of the world, before anything was ever created, he understood who you were. He knew your name. He knew your sex. He knew where you would be born. He understood who your parents were going to be. He understood what you would do with your life. He understood all the struggles of your life. He understood every sin that you would ever commit already. He knew that. And yet he sent his son in his plan to die for your sin so that you could come back into relationship with him through Jesus Christ. That's what he did. That he did that all before creation ever began. This is the Father that you pray to, the one who has eternal power and all power and has all authority. We just sang songs about this, okay? We just praise God for what he was doing. Now, let's put it into practice in our lives. He says, I fall on my knees and I pray these things. So when it says there that God is at work in us, understand that this is the God who's at work. This is not just some little trinket you wear on your necklace. It's not some little idol you sit to that you've made that you bow down to. It's not some thing that you want to accomplish in this world. This is the God who created it all. And I want to emphasize that this is not simply something small. This is someone who is beyond your biggest imaginations. That's his capacity. Infinite capacity. It says in verse 16, it says, and I pray from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Now understand that the Spirit of God is one of God. So it's one God in three persons. So don't think of the Spirit of God as one of the gods. Okay, it's not one of the gods. He is God. So this is the Spirit of God the Father, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit. Now, it says there he has unlimited resources, absolutely unlimited resources. We have no concept of what that means. When you put a battery into your phone, okay, and you run your phone out throughout the day, if you had unlimited resources, you would never have to do what? Never have to charge it. Do you charge your phone? If you had unlimited resources in your car, you would never have to add what to your car? Gasoline. But you have to add gasoline because it's not unlimited. We don't understand. We don't have any concept in our minds of what unlimited means. It's not within our brain power. Because we always have limits. Everything we do has limits. Okay? But God is unlimited. So whatever you can think, the biggest thing you can think is still limited. And then go beyond that another 1,000%, and now you have a limit. So it's not even 1,000%. It's an infinite capacity to do whatever he wants to do. And it's within you. This God who has infinite capacity, who is your creator, who is your father, lives in his Spirit inside of you, in your very center of your being as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's where he lives. Your body is a temple of the Holy God who is infinite in his scope and power. And it says there that he will empower you in your inner person with his strength. What strength was that? Well, we know from the scriptures that the strength of the Holy Spirit is what raised Jesus from the dead. So before you think about that too far, just understand this. Have you ever had someone die? And did you want them to come back to life again? Would you like to have had them back? And we'd all say, absolutely. So if there was a possibility for someone to have the power to raise someone from the dead, don't you think that humanly we would try to do that? So if you lost, let's just say you lost a baby, okay? And this baby is just an infant, and he died. And if you had the capacity within you humanly to raise this baby from the dead so he could have a full life, would you not do it? Absolutely. Okay? Have you ever seen it done? No. I'm not saying that it hasn't been done. I have never seen it. Humanly possible, that is not there. But with God, it's possible. God is able to raise the dead. So the dead, that death no longer has power over an individual. That is the power of the Spirit of God who lives in you. The power to give you life when you are absolutely, when you are dead. To give you life. You see, God is at work inside us. That's where he works. He works from the inside out. So glad he doesn't work from the outside in. Because then we would see what his capacity was, okay? Maybe they'd be nicer, but he works from the inside out on us. And it says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. That's where he's working within you through his mighty power. And he's able to do more than we can ask or think. Now, whenever I started thinking about this, I started reviewing this, I thought to myself, so does that mean I can ask anything? So, God, I want $1 million, you know? I'd like to have a brand new car and a brand new house, and, you know, I'd like to have 2 or 3 houses, and is that what that's talking about, okay? Beyond anything you can ask or think, I would say, you know what, those things are pretty shallow thoughts. They're all about the material things of this world, which we are aliens in, and we're not going to live our life here. And when you leave this place, you're going to leave it all behind anyway. So what are you going to take with you into eternity? So beyond all that you can ask or think has a greater connotation than just the things of this world, okay? The things of this world are passing. They are temporary. They're only going to be here a short time. And so I take you back to verse 17. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Now, then, when the Spirit of God takes his place inside you and does his power within you, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Oh, as you trust him. See, most of what we do with God is learning to trust God that he has your best interests at heart. Oftentimes, he tells us to do something and we say, well, I don't think I like that idea. That's going to hurt, or that's going to embarrass me, or that's going to do something for me, you know. And we're not sure we can trust God. That's the first sin, by the way, that Satan fostered upon Eve was, can you really trust God? Is he trustworthy? He says, when Christ makes his home in your heart, you learn to trust him. When he says, I want you to do this, you say, okay, I can trust you. I can trust you. Let me give you a simple example. So some of you were a part of Saturate USA when they were distributing the packets, okay? And anytime you do public evangelism, there's always this question in your heart that says, ooh, I don't know if I want to do that. It might embarrass me. I might have to do something I don't want to do. I mean, I might have to talk to somebody. Now, for those of us who are introverts, that means something. For those of you extroverts, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, let's go talk to somebody. However, some of us really get uptight when we think about personal evangelism. Me talking about my faith with somebody else who I don't know? Yeah, that's okay. So God has told us to share our faith, has he not? This is something he wants us to do. And it's a matter of trust. Will God follow you through on what he's asked you to do? Will he be there and give you the words to speak? Will you trust him to do that? Today, we're going out, okay? We're going to distribute packets. You may or may not have to talk to anybody. But would you trust him at 4 o'clock to come here and join us, join me and Rosemary and whoever else shows up? We don't know who's going to show up, okay? We're actually going out this afternoon because we couldn't go out the other 2 times they were here because we were gone. The question is, do you trust him? Do you trust him with your kids? Do you trust him with your grandchildren? Is he capable of changing the heart of your mother or your father who are against you? Is he capable? Remember, he's infinite. He has infinite capacity. Does he love your children, your grandparents, your your parents. Does he love them? Yeah, we know he does. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Does God love them? Absolutely. Can you trust him? Yes, you can trust him. Does he want the best for you? Yes. So your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. So you will learn to trust God's love for you to keep you strong. Now, to help you understand roots, this has been a really dry year, has it not? And I've been watching some of the corn and the beans, and I'm amazed that the thing isn't firing from the bottom up, okay, with the little bit of rain we've had around here. But in order to help you understand this, I'm going to take you to a picture that happened in, this is Burwell, Nebraska. This is Calamus Lake. This is my grandson, Josiah. And this is the lake that's out there. It's a sand bottom lake. It's a beautiful lake. But it has these huge cliffs on the side. And that's all sand from the grass down to where you can see there and on down. It's all sand. Powder sand. Okay? So you can imagine what water does out there. It goes into the top of the thing. And within minutes, it is all the way down. It just sinks through it. It's just a filter. Now, I want you to look up there on the top. There's grass up there. And it's green. And they get very little rainfall out there. Very little rainfall. But as he's digging into this thing, there are roots right hanging above his head. I'm going to show you a picture of it. This is a close-up. See the roots? Okay. Now, let's go back to this, the first picture there. The distance from his head to the top of that thing. Now, he is about, you know, I measured him from where he's sitting to the top of his head is about 3 feet. Okay. And if you take the top of his foot to the top of that grass, that's got to be at least 4 to 5 feet, at least, to the grass. Those roots on that grass are at least 5 feet long. And he's dug in there. He's cut them off. And they could, some of them, be 6 or 7 or 8 feet long down into this sand. Why? They need water. Where's the water? Down. Now, the lake is right about that level, as you see the sand there in the bottom there. And so it's going down to lake level to get water. It's growing deep into the sand to find it. So this is what it says, that your roots may grow down into God's love. Why God's love? Well, consider this. If you're going to trust somebody, do you trust somebody who loves you? Or who doesn't love you? Which one is it? You trust the person who loves you, don't you? Okay? If you have someone who doesn't love you, they're not interested in your good. Therefore, you're not going to trust them. That's why we tell children, don't go out and talk to strangers. Figure out who they are first. See if they actually care for you and are interested in your best interest. That's what love is. To care for someone, to give them their interest in your best interests, okay? That's what the love of God is. And it will, what? Keep you strong. I believe this is verse 18. That you may have the power to understand. So when your roots grow down deep into God, and you're asking God to do this because he's got infinite capacity. And then Paul prays that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. There it is. How big is God's love for you? That you may experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. In other words, his love is, we've used this word before this morning, what is it? Infinite. It's infinite. It has no end. It is beyond your capacity to understand, because you are limited in your understanding. We are limited in our capacity to understand this. And so God has this much love for us. And then it says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And another text, it says, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? Well, I kind of did a study on this and then figured out that the fullness of God is the totality of God. All that God is, all that God has capacity for, that power and that life will be in you. This is what God is doing. He's producing in you a trust in him so that you can understand that he has infinite capacity within you to do what he wants for you, because he knows it's best for you and will accomplish great things in your life if you would just simply say, "Yes, Lord. I'll trust you." Let your roots grow down deep into Christ to trust him. Why? So he gets the credit. Now, this can sound kind of arrogant, okay? It can sound that way. That God gets the glory. Well, yeah, sure, he gets the glory, you know. But think about it a minute. I want to take you back to Brianna, okay? Think about what happened when we found out that Brianna had been healed. Remember, when that happened, we as a congregation were praying for her, and all of a sudden we found out that she was healed. What did we all do? We said, "Praise God. He has done something supernatural in our natural world, something out and beyond our capacity to understand." What did the doctors do when they heard about it? They said, "This is a miracle. We don't know how this happened. It's beyond our understanding." You see, glory is not just something that's just, well, oh yeah, you get glory. No, it's the highest honor you can receive, and it comes naturally out of a human being to God because of what he has done with human beings that is unnatural and becomes supernatural, and all of a sudden you say, this is who God is. God is able to heal. Did you hear that? God is able to heal the human body if that's what he chooses to do. God is able to save you. Some of you are just sitting back there thinking, oh yeah, great. You saved me. We just burned some twigs out in our fire. They were green twigs. You know how long it took for those green leaves to go like that? About 30 seconds. God says that we're like grass. We burn up. We're temporary. You know what happens to a person who has sin in their lives and choose to bear their own sin? They're ultimately going to go to the lake of fire that never stops burning. And although our leaves burn like that, those who go to the lake of fire will not burn like that. They forever, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but the truth is that you will be in eternal fire for the rest of your life, for eons without end. That's what hell is. He saved you from hell. He saved you from hell. He saved you from a worthless life, caught up in temporary things that ultimately can end in nothing but struggle and destruction of who you are. That's who he is. He saved us. And before the world ever began, he saved you by name. Does God receive the glory? You know what? God is going to receive all the glory. In fact, I want to take you to a passage that's not on the screen. I want you to read with me Ephesians 3:10. So turn to that verse. Turn to that verse. Ephesians 3:10. God's purpose in all of this is to use the church. By the way, that's not this building, folks. That's you and me, every person who's a believer in Jesus Christ, to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety and all, to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Do you realize what that just said? It says that he's going to use you and me as examples of his great love, and he's going to show every one of the demons and the fallen angels and the holy angels and Satan himself and say, look, here's the example of my love for these people. This is how big my love is. And you're going to be the trophies of God's grace to the unseen world when it all happens. When it all comes down, when it all finishes up, this is what's going to happen. You are going to be held up by God and say, look at this person. Look at this woman. This is what she was, and this is what she now is because of me. And every one of us, who name the name of Jesus Christ are going to be an example held up to the angels to say, look, this is what I can do. This is what I have done. This is a demonstration of my authority and my power and my infinite love for all. You see, God gets the credit in the church and in Christ Jesus, because it's in Christ Jesus we find our capacity to do whatever we do. Remember, our roots grow down deep into him. And notice how long it lasts. Through all generations, forever and ever. All generations, that goes back to Adam, and it goes forward to as long as humanity will have the last human being that is born. That's the generation. This is how big it is. From Adam to the last human that's ever born. To all generations, this is the glory that will give praise to God because of what he is, who he is, and what he's done in us. So, what's your takeaway? Well, I'm going to take you back to these seven students who made decisions for Christ. Actually, they were believers when they went there. And they made decisions about sin, and they repented of it. They made decisions that God was interested in them, that they could trust him with their lives, that he could be centered to their lives, that God was going to do a work in their families. They believed it, okay? So what's your takeaway? What are you going to take away today? Well, may I suggest something to you? That this verse is all about prayer. And these are prayers you can pray. But understand this. That we need to start praying bigger prayers. We need to start praying bigger prayers. Believers, don't just pray for your Aunt Maud's knee or the bunion on her little toe. Now, is God interested in those things? Absolutely. But if you want to see God at work, then pray a bigger prayer that you can't find healed by any doctor. Pray a bigger prayer. Because God is infinite. But the prayer is not about our health. The prayer is about God at work in our lives, that we would see God in our lives and we'd be changed from the inside out. Do you have a son or a daughter who you're struggling with? And you're saying to yourself, I can't figure it out. I don't know how to touch this child. Pray a big prayer. God, I'm asking you to touch that child. I'm asking you to reach out, and I'm asking you to change the inside of that child in such a way that it can't be described by any other means than to say that God reached down and touched my child, and it changed his life. Do you have a parent or, let's see here. Have you got a spouse? Or a parent, or someone like that, that needs God's work in their lives. Now, again, I'm not talking about disease and healing. I'm talking about spiritual change in the life of an individual. You know, I think we need to pray for Saturate USA. I really do. Okay, so what are we doing with Saturate USA? We're like a sower, okay? And we've got a bag of seeds on our side here, and we're going out and we're broadcasting these seeds. That's all we're doing, okay? We are putting videos and tracks on people's doors. Who changes the seed into a growth? God does. Who causes a person to watch a video that was put on their door? How many of you would watch a video that was put on your door? I'm not sure I would. Unless God prompted me to. So the question is, what are we doing? Well, we're putting a seed out there, and now we're going to ask God to germinate the seed. And when we see people come to Christ because they say, well, you know, I watched that video that came to me, and I don't know who came from, but I watched it, I read the track that was in there, and I heard God speak to me. What are we asking for? We're asking for a divine intervention in the lives of people of our town who, if they don't find Christ, are going to spend eternity in hell. And we don't think that's a big prayer. No, that's a huge prayer. We need to be praying. In fact, would you just bow your heads right now? We're going to pray for this. Father God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the one who has caused the salvation gospel to be given to us, and we received it. And Lord, you have asked us to send out these seeds of the gospel to our town. And Lord, we're asking right now that you would cause those seeds to germinate and to take fruit. Lord, we're asking that you would cause them to grow inside the people that see them. Lord God, I just pray that you would bring new believers out of this sowing. Lord, I pray for this congregation, those hearing these words. Lord, I pray that we would pray big prayers for those things that are struggling with us, for those who have children who have walked away from you and still haven't come back. Father, may you help them understand that their life is not done and their prayers can still be heard, because they're big prayers for someone to repent of their sin and to come back into relationship with you. Lord, I pray for those of us who struggle with children. I pray that you would touch their lives, Lord, in such a way that's beyond our comprehension of what you're going to do. That you're going to draw them back into relationship with you and then relationship with us. Father, I pray for those parents who are struggling, for grandparents. Father, maybe for a husband or a wife who are struggling with their relationship and they just don't know how it's ever going to be fixed. Lord, you created that relationship. You know how it can be fixed. But you're just asking them to trust you, to do what you say to do, to trust you that you know how this works. Lord, you are able. Those are simple words, Father. But I ask that you would impregnate them into our lives, into our souls, to say, we have got to think bigger thoughts about who you are. We have to think bigger prayers, that you would receive the glory, that you'd receive all the credit, Lord, for all that happens. Father, would you work in our lives? Father, would you change our lives, that we may be examples of your grace and your love to all the unseen rulers and authorities around us. In Jesus' name.